Good morning, everybody. Well, we're still on the millennial reign, and somebody asked me when we got into this, said, well, you're going to spend a Sunday or two on millennial reign? And I guess I'll probably spend several more. But anyway, want to show you, and we've looked at several things about the kingdom. Now let me show you a couple things that characterizes the kingdom. So keep your Bibles handy and go with me if you would. And as we get into that, now remember and keeping your mind, the kingdom's going to start when the king comes back. And when Christ comes back as king, he'll set all the nations before him. He'll separate them in Matthew chapter 25 as the sheep from the goats. And the righteous, the sheep, will go into the kingdom. As a matter of fact, if you look in Matthew 25, turn there a moment. And just keep your Bibles handy because we're going to go several verses. In verse 37, then shall the righteous answer him. So the Bible declares those that's going into this kingdom as being the righteous. They will be the one admitted in to the kingdom. But that's not a surprise if you turn back to Isaiah chapter 60. The book of Isaiah, we'll see a lot of verses in Isaiah that will tell about this kingdom and the king. But in Isaiah chapter 60, if you'll turn there just a moment. Notice if you would in verse 21. He's talking about the people of Israel in the kingdom. Thy people also shall be all what? Righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. So when they come in, they're going to be righteous. Look if you would in Isaiah 26. In Isaiah chapter 26 again, remember that the Bible says over in the New Testament that Israel will be saved in a day when they see the Son of God coming, they see the Messiah coming, they recognize that he is the king, then they will all be saved and they're ready to receive him then, even though they rejected him earlier. But in chapter 26 verse 2, and we looked at law of the rejection, notice if you would what it says. It says, open ye gates that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. In other words, it will be a time when the millennial king will rise. And the Bible tells us that he'll be a priest, that Jesus will be a priest after the order of Melchizedek. He is the king of righteousness. And so the thing that comes from righteousness is peace. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, chapter 85, during this time, if you want to turn to Psalms 85 real quickly, it says, during the reign of this millennial reign of Christ, notice if you would in verse number 10, the Bible says, mercy and truth are met together, righteousness and peace shall kiss each other. Now, I hear people talk about this verse a lot, but they don't realize it's talking about when the kingdom is here, when the king reigns. And the Bible says, Jesus was describing how it would be in the kingdom in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, because the righteous will be the ones that will go in. And chapter 61 of Isaiah says the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. Now, there will also be in the millennial kingdom, there will be obedience. People will obey. And the Bible declares that several times. The Bible tells us that there will be the Holy Spirit be poured out upon them. There will be holiness that will be, and it'll be characterized by truth, and we'll get into all that a little later on. But notice, if you would, in Zechariah chapter 8. Now remember that they have rejected the truth, and they've denied Jesus being Messiah. But during this time, during the reign, the Bible says in chapter 8, in verse number 3, "Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem." Jerusalem should be called a city of what? Of truth. And the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. In other words, it will be a city of truth. Look, if you will, in Joel chapter 2. Now, a lot of people gets into this verse, but they don't get into the context of what the verse is about. And in Joel chapter number 2, it predicts there will be a time in Israel's future. It says in verse 29, and this is talking about the kingdom, "And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood, fire, and pillars of smoke." And he goes on, he says, and the sun in verse 28, I skipped that one, "And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." Now, a lot of people tries to make that pertain to when the Holy Spirit came to empower the church, and true that there were certain things came, but this is talking about in the latter days when Christ reigns and Israel becomes saved. Now, if you'll notice again in chapter Jeremiah, chapter number 31, if you'll turn there just a moment, in Jeremiah chapter 31. Again, talking about the kingdom. The Bible says in verse number 27, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man, with the seed of beast, and it shall come to pass that like as I've watched over them to pluck up and to break down, to throw down, to destroy, to afflict, so will I watch over them to build and to plant, saith the Lord." In other words, he's going to turn Israel around. He's going to bless them instead of cursing them because of their rejection. "In those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten a Sarah grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But every one shall die for his own iniquity, and every man that eateth the Sarah grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husbandman unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." And he goes on, he talks about different things there that he will do to the nation of Israel. They will all recognize who he is as king. They will all know who he is, and they will have a new spirit. Matter of fact, look in Ezekiel chapter 37. And then I want to get into some things here in just a moment. In chapter 37 of Ezekiel, notice in verse 14, and this is a prophecy of the dry bones. And he says that he says, and shall put my spirit in you, talking to Israel, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. In other words, he's going to take them. He's going to bring a new spirit into them. They're going to be saved. It's going to be a whole different thing. In verse 26, if you look back in chapter 36, in verse 26, he says, and a new heart also will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land that I gave unto your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Now again, all these people who are anti-millennial reign, anti-kingdom, literal kingdom, when exactly did God do this? When has God brought all Israel back, give them a new heart, give them a recognize, and they recognize Jesus, and they recognize him as Messiah? When have they done that? Well, you can't go to a time and tell me when that transformation was ever made. It's not been made. So it's got to be in the future, in a kingdom. And some people say, well, it's going to be spiritual. It's not spiritual. It will be spiritual, but it'll also be literal. They will have a spiritual recognition of Jesus, a spiritual revival. They'll be brought to life. They'll be saved by the Holy Spirit of God, because when they see Jesus, they will believe upon Jesus. The same way we get saved, we believe upon Jesus. They will see him in the form of the Messiah, and they will be saved, and they will enter into his kingdom. That's why he said, when John the Baptist come, it repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And had they repented and accepted Jesus, they would win into the kingdom, but they didn't. So this time they will repent. The Bible says they will mourn when they see whom the one that they pierced. Now, saying all that, we're fixing to get into what I consider some interesting scriptures of the kingdom. This is how things will be done during the 1,000 years that Christ reigns. Now, we'll have to go to some scriptures. First of all, there will be a war will not exist for 1,000 years. There'll be no more wars, no nations of wars, no wars breaking out. The Bible tells us under Christ's reign that will not happen. Let's look at some verses, if you would. In the Bible, starting in Isaiah. Just turn to Isaiah. We're going to flip through several verses of Isaiah, and then we'll go to a couple others. But there's gobs and gobs of verses that God has told us about peace that will be during the reign when Christ reigns. Look at you in Isaiah chapter 2. Notice, if you would, in verse number 4. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. There will not be any wars that take place during 1,000 years that Christ reigns. Now imagine what that would be like. Peace on the earth. Remember when Jesus came to the earth? Remember what the angel said? Glory to God in the highest, peace and goodwill on earth. And so God wants peace. But when Christ reigns, there will be peace. The Bible says before the coming of the Antichrist, there will be rumors of peace. And people be saying peace, peace, but to beware during that time. Look, if you would, in chapter 9 of Isaiah. Again, talking about this kingdom. Notice verse 4. It says, for thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the days of Midian. For every battle of warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be the burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there should be no end upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. And again, imagine this, a thousand years of peace. Peace among nations. Every instrument of war will be put to something useful. The swords, the Bible says, be beaten to plowshares. There'll be a reason for that. We'll see later on. Look, if you would, in Isaiah chapter 11, again talking about the kingdom and his reign. Verse number 6. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. A little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like an ox. And the sucking child shall play in the hole of an ass. That's a poison snake. The winged child shall put his hand on a crocodile's den. And shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters on the sea. Again, a time of peace. Not only peace among nations, but peace among animals. No animal will attack and eat another animal during the reign of Christ. They will eat, the Bible says, the lion and ox will eat straw like each other. And so therefore, the curse will be lifted as far as the animals and wild animals that we have. Look at you in Isaiah chapter 32. In Isaiah chapter 32. Notice if you would in verse number 17. And the Bible says, talking about this time, and the work of the righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever, and my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. Now, have you ever known Israel to be in a place where it was quiet and peaceful? Today, everybody around them wants to destroy them. All through their history, they've been attacked and been taken captive and been abused. This is yet a future. And the Bible says, and God's pointing to people and says, listen, it's going to be a time of peace. A time when the nation of Israel can rest. For 1,000 years, they can rest and not be attacked by other nations. The Arab nations and all those things will not be coming against Israel. Many of them will be cast into hell, by the way, at this time and place. Only those who are righteous will be entering in. Look, if you would, in chapter 33. In chapter 33, look if you would in verse number 5 and 6. The Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. So during that time, it's going to be. Look if you would in chapter 54 of Isaiah. A lot of times people read these verses and they don't place them in the kingdom. But these verses are pointing to things that will happen in the kingdom. And the Bible says, and thy children, as a matter of fact, if you ever notice the old bus, I had a scripture put on the side of the bus. And the old bus, the scripture that I used was this scripture I'm fixing to read right here. In chapter 54, in verse number 13. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the what? Peace of thy children. Now, I use that scripture, but I use it out of context. I was talking about teaching them over here and bringing peace in their lives. But it's talking about Israel. During the kingdom, their children will be taught, and there'll be peace among their children. And it will bring great peace to them. Look on, if you would, in chapter 55. In chapter 55, notice in verse 12. For ye shall go out with joy and shall be led with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. In other words, it's a time when everything can rest and be at peace. Notice if you would on over in chapter 60. In chapter 60, we're just going to look at several verses. and passing through, verse number 18. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy wall salvation and thy gates praise. In other words, Israel's going to be at peace. And again, over and over and over and over, the Bible prophesies of this kingdom that's going to come, a kingdom where peace is going to reign. While I got you there and while we're on this subject, let's just look at a lot of different verses. These verses are important because you'll run across them sometimes. Look, if you would, in 65, in chapter 65, verse number 25. Again, we're reminded, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Now, let me ask you a time. When in the time of history have you seen lions going around eating straw? When have you seen all the lions laying down with the things that they eat right now? It hasn't happened, has it? So it's going to happen. Where's it going to happen? In his holy mountain. When Christ reigns, that's when it's going to take place. And to deny there's a kingdom coming is to deny all these scriptures besides these, many others. Let's look at a few more. Look at chapter 66, verse number 10. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all ye that love her, and rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her, that ye may suck and be satisfied with the breast of her consolations, and that ye may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, and ye shall be borne upon her sides, and be dangled upon her knees. As one whom his mother's comforted, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And ye shall see this, and with your hearts rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb, and the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, and in indignation toward his enemies. Now remember that the thing that was promised Israel during this kingdom is that they would be exalted as a nation, and other nations would feed upon them, and they would be held and exalted in the world's eyes. That's what he's talking about here. He's talking about the fact that all the Gentile nations that will exist in the kingdom will feed upon the nation of Israel and what's going on in Israel and with them and their king. So it will be a wonderful time during that time. Look, if you would, over in the book of Ezekiel. Turn over there with me, if you would. Ezekiel chapter 28. And again, you got to ask yourself, for those who believe that the kingdom's happening right now, would you really describe what's going on in Jerusalem with what we just got through reading? Can you ever go back in the history of Jerusalem and describe that happening? All those things that brings peace that the Bible says? No, it's yet future. It's yet when the king comes back and he sets his feet upon the Mount of Olives and he establishes his kingdom. That's when these things are going to happen. Look, if you would, in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse number 26. And they shall dwell safely therein, and shall build houses and plant vineyards. Yea, they shall dwell with confidence when I have executed judgments upon all those that despise them round about them, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God. In other words, they recognize him, they're saved when they see him, and they recognize, and God, when he comes back, when Christ comes back, and they recognize him, he will have destroyed their enemies. So again, you got to ask yourself, when did that ever happen? It's not happened. It's yet to happen in the future. Look on in Ezekiel, if you would. Look in chapter 34. Chapter 34. Notice in verse number 25. And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. In other words, again, he prophesies that the beast, the evil beast, and all those things will calm down. It will be a time when the lion and lamb lays together. It will be a time when there will be no more hostility. Look in verse 28. And they shall no more be a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beast of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. Can you imagine having a king, having this kingdom, and Israel all their life has had to be on guard, had to be ready in a moment's notice to take to arms, had enemies all around them, they couldn't sleep. I mean, Israel, they train all their people to be in the army. All their people has to be taught and trained and what to do in a moment's notice because the enemies are all around them. They don't know when, where, how they're going to be attacked, but they've got to be ready for it. Here, finally, they get to the kingdom and they're able to have peace and be quiet in their spirit and enjoy life with the king, because no one is going to come upon them for 1,000 years. Imagine that. And by the way, when the 1,000 years expired that we saw the other day in Revelation chapter 20, do you notice the first thing happens that the devil did? He went out to all the four corners of the earth, he gets an army up, and he comes against Israel. Because for 1,000 years, they've never been touched. It's been calm and peace. Look only, if you would, in Hosea. We'll skip on over a little bit after Daniel in Hosea. Look, if you would, in chapter number 2, verse number 18. And in that day, I will make a covenant for them. Hosea chapter 2, verse number 18, right after Daniel. In that day, I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of the heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground. And I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely. Again, no harm, no hurt, peace. A time of peace upon the earth. You know, all these liberals run around and say, we're praying for peace. Well, if you're really praying for true peace to come upon the earth, there's only one time and one place it's going to come. That's when Christ comes back and establishes his kingdom. And there's going to be peace on the earth and goodwill toward men. Everybody's going to have peace. Isn't that a wonderful thought? We're going to get to witness it, but we'll be in our glorified bodies, those of us who are saved. And we'll be ruling with Christ throughout the earth. Look, if you would, on over in Micah chapter number 4. Micah chapter number 4. Micah is right after Jonah, if you're looking for it. Micah chapter number 4. Notice in verse 2 and 3. And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go into the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth out of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. A nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Again, Micah reminds us this day is coming when there will be peace. And this peace will come upon the nation of Israel. Look one more place, if you would. Now, I'll quit there, even though we could go several other places. Look at in Zechariah, chapter number 9. And the Bible says in chapter 9, in verse number 10 of Zechariah, it says, and I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen. His dominion shall be from sea even to sea, from river even to the ends of the earth. In other words, this king. Now picture this and remember this. We're going to pick up next week. We're going to look at where not only is the kingdom going to be full of peace, it's going to be full of joy. People are going to be happy, rejoicing, joy. There's going to be some things that we're going to read and we're going to look. That the Bible talks about how the desert's going to bloom. And they're going to bring forth all these flowers and so forth. There's going to be a time when the Bible says, we'll see later on, when babies will die at 100 years old. And old men will live to be ripe old ages. In other words, we will go back to the days of Genesis. It will be a time when men will live during this 1,000 years. They will live 300, 400, 500, 600 years old. Maybe 700, 800, 900 years old. But they will live, and not only will they live, but they will bear forth children. And they will have children. And even babies themselves, the Bible says, will live and die 100 years old. Babies. Now imagine, you know, you read in the Old Testament, and you read where Adam was 930 years old when he died. You know, 400 and 500 years old, he was still bearing children. You think, how can that be? Well, that was an age of purity. And as the church, or as the earth come off the purity. But now picture this. Here we have Christ coming back and establishing his kingdom. In his kingdom, we'll see the same things happening again. Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. He'll not be in there in that kingdom. And so the kingdom will be won again. I want you to get in your mind a perfect peace. And not perfect, but it will be one of peace. No one, anyone who starts to try to start something up, they will be put down. And the Bible says that they will be coming into Jerusalem, learn in secret of how the knowledge of the Lord and how to bring peace and how to be at peace one with another. So it will be an amazing, amazing time in this kingdom. Now, this is just the beginning of what we're going to see. We'll probably look at 20, 25, 30 things that will be unique in this kingdom in the next few days as we follow of Christ's kingdom. Imagine that. Can you imagine? You know, how many of you ever seen a picture with a lion and lamb laying together? Guess where they got that at? And guess what time that's talking about? Again, if you don't believe it, if you're like Mary and you got your little lamb, go put it in a cage with a lion and see how well it lays down with it right now. And the time hasn't come yet, folks. When that time comes, God will make it happen. Amen. Let's be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you for many blessings. Thank you for the day in which you've given us. We pray your blessings upon us, Heavenly Father. We pray that you meet with us today. And again, thank you for your word. Lord, you can tell us about things to come that's not even been here because you know what lies ahead of us. And we're so thankful that we serve a God of not only yesterday, but even tomorrow. And Lord, nothing's a secret with you. Nothing's a surprise with you. And Lord, we're so thankful that we have such a great sovereign God. We ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.